Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. 65 years of servicing the outdoor public, a local company up and down the Front Range of Colorado. Let's go to the phones, and joining us from the Arkansas Headwaters Recreation Area is Jeff Hammond. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Terry.
Thanks for coming on with us. What's the weather like? We're asking everybody, what's the weather like down in your part of the country today?
Oh, it is actually refreshingly overcast. It's been a little bit warm out here recently, so a weekend with some clouds has been nice and cool.
So what are the conditions on the Arkansas River? I know that there was limited snowpack, but there was still some coming down, but you have releases that are controlled. What's happening along the Arkansas as far as flows right now?
Yeah, right now we're at kind of a nice medium or low side of medium. Browns Canyon is running at about 1380 cubic feet per second. Definitely the snowpack disappeared pretty quick on for us this year, but we do have a voluntary flow management program that helps to kind of smooth out and mitigate any potential low water. So it's not going to be a legendary high water year, but we are doing our best to make sure that boatable flows are maintained.
Now, what about the fishing? I saw there's pretty good rafting right now. How about the fishing?
Yeah, we had our high water peak was probably last week, and with that, the flows have been dropping a little bit since. So the river's slowing down a little bit. The clarity has really improved, but the temps are still nice and low, so we're not worried about overstressing fish. So definitely with that clarity improving, the fishing has really been picking up.
All right. Now, Arkansas Headwaters is kind of a unique state park. It's spread up and down the river. Kind of describe how the park is set up.
Yeah, so it's probably different than other parks that most people have driven into, where you drive in through one gate and you're in the park until you drive back out through that gate. Our sites don't have a gate or a gate attendant when you drive in. It's all self-service on the honor system. But we're spread from Leadville to Pueblo along the Arkansas River. We stretch about 152 miles. We have a lot of boat ramps, put-ins and takeouts for the rafting runs, as well as 8 campgrounds that are paid campgrounds. And then we haven't done a full count on it, but kind of an unlimited amount of dispersed camping options, depending on how many you get.
Yeah, now you mentioned you have a lot of conventional campgrounds. Those are all on a reservation system, and those are up and down the area. And you go on to either you go to the website or the phone call, and even the day of it, but you have to have a reservation for those. The dispersed camping is a little different, where it isn't necessarily an assigned campsite that you can reserve, although, and some of your diverse camping, you do have some designated sites, don't you?
Yeah, we have kind of two models right now in our dispersed sites. So there's the traditional dispersed camping, which is, some people call like boondocking, but essentially it's free, first come, first serve. If you've ever camped out in the National Forest, you're probably familiar with that model, where you can just find an area that's open and pull off the road and camp, and as long as you're not damaging any vegetation, you can camp there. The other model we have is what we call designated dispersed, and we've moved a couple of our areas over to that. It's still free, still first come, first serve, but we designate a specific number of sites within an area, and the purpose of that is just to limit the impact and concentrate it into specific locations. That way the whole area doesn't get left to death if you get like spiderweb roads moving all over the place.
Now, I do know you have some rules, but before we even get to that, let's talk about how busy it gets. Now, on a typical weekday or weekend, what's the difference? When's the best time to come, and how busy does it seem to get?
Well, more and more so, our weekends seem to be starting on Wednesday now, and they end about Tuesday midday. So we're kind of busy all summer long at this point. Our reservable campgrounds do book up rather far in advance, so I definitely encourage people, especially if you're looking for a weekend, those reservations open up 6 months in advance, and some of them book out 6 months in advance as well.
All right, now let's talk about, we got people coming up. They came up for the dispersed camping, and you really want to encourage them. You want them to come and use the park, but they have some rules. Tell us about the rules they need to be aware of when they come up for the dispersed camping.
Yeah, so we have three main rules that apply to our dispersed camping here, and while they're the rule here, they may also be good considerations to have in other places. Especially as more and more people are getting outside, we want to make sure that across the state we're doing our best to practice leave no trace principles. So the first one, and most people are really just here for the weekend, but we do limit camping to 14 days in a 28-day period. And that kind of gives everyone their fair shot at finding a campsite. It also limits overuse as well. You don't get people posting up all summer long. The second one is that we do require that all fires are in a fire pan. And what that looks like is an elevated container off the ground with a rigid construction. So that could be metal or maybe ceramic, like some of those ceramic backyard fire pits. And it has to have at least 2-inch sides. What we don't allow is like rock rings. And you'll see a lot of rock rings out in the backcountry. But what we found here is with the density of use we get, those really leave a lot of ugly burn scars on the landscape. They also tend to crop up all over the place. So you'll get a rock ring here and then 10 feet away, another one and another one and another one. And over time they fill with ash and trash and they start to be an eyesore. The fire pan also helps with limiting some wildfire risk too. Most fire pans aren't very large, so it's, kind of prevents the bonfire from getting built in the fire pit.
Okay, and you said there's three, so we have one more rule, and that's one that I think is really the next rule you're going to talk about is one that I think some people, when they head out camping, don't think about ahead of time, and it's becoming more and more of an issue. Tell us about that.
Yeah, definitely, and this is one that that I would definitely encourage people to consider using around the state, well, it is certainly the rule here. And that is that we do require that any campers in our dispersed areas have a portable toilet system. And that needs to be capable of carrying out human waste. I think we're all familiar with it with dogs at this point. You know, that's really become the standard is you bag up your dog waste and then hopefully remember to carry it out with you. We don't want to see that left on the side of the trail. But for our campers here, we ask them to do that with human waste as well. So the kind of luxury option is a full-on portable toilet with a little shade shelter that goes around it. You can get those at most kind of sporting goods stores, but that can also be a little bit expensive, or if you're on a backpacking trip, you're not going to be able to carry that whole thing. So the simple option is what's called a wag bag, and those are essentially a dog bag, but for people. They have a powder in the bottom of it that makes human waste inert, and then you can throw it out in any kind of regular dumpster without any sanitation concern.
All right.
What we don't allow here is what's called like cat holing, where you would dig a hole in the ground and do your business there. It doesn't biodegrade fast enough in our desert ecosystem, and with the density of use we get, it would be a sanitation concern when people might dig each other's up.
All right. Well, we are running out of time here, Jeff, but if people want more information, can they go to the website? Is that the best way?
Absolutely. Our website's a little bit long, so I always just recommend if you Google search CPW AHRA, that first result will bring you to our website.
All right, my friend, thank you for that information. People get out. Dispersed camping is a great way to go. Just remember the rules so that we have beautiful places for all of us to camp. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Jeff Hammond from Parks and Wildlife. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to take you to a place where you have a legitimate shot of catching a 10-pound rainbow almost every time you go out. I mean, not saying that's going to happen, but there's a shot. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.